adaptation to drought, and that is making decisions. What kind of tools do we have to make decisions? And our first speaker in this final section is Yao Zhang from Colorado State University. And Yao, I'll turn the time over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. So today I will talk about two decision support tools that we are currently developing in Colorado State University to help the adaptation to drought in cropping systems. As we know, in arid and semi-arid western U.S., we have been seeing water scarcity is a big problem. Take Colorado as an example. 86% of the water supply has been used in irrigation in agriculture. However, recent years, the water demand from municipal and industrial users has increased dramatically. So how could we meet this increase in water demand? One way is to transfer our water from agriculture to urban use. Then the farmers has an option which use limited irrigation to save water, to apply less water. So limited irrigation is to apply less water than the crop need. So the crop will suffer a certain level of water stress, the drought stress. So the tools are developed to help farmers to quantify the yield and water use, how to schedule their limited irrigation. As we see here, this graph just shows a simple water production function. As we know, if there's little water, the crop won't grow. And when we increase the water via irrigation, the crop yield increases almost linearly, and then it started to plateau, means you apply more water, but you are not necessarily get much more yield. And this water production curve will be very different from crops and from different fields. So we need to use tool to quantify this curve. The two decision supporting tools we are currently developing. The first one called eRAMS, it's a field to watershed scale tool. And the second is Comet Farm. So the first tool is designed to help guide drought adaptation decisions. It will empower our producers to plan and evaluate the water conservation practices. We also included climate change scenarios in this tool. Our goal is to identify the water management solutions that are socially viable, economically feasible, and environmentally effective. The Comet Farm tool, as some of you already know, it's a greenhouse gas accounting tool. So we will add new options, the limited irrigation option to this tool to help the farmers to better optimize their yield and also the environmental benefits. So both tools has one engine, which is the underlying model. It is the decent ecosystem model. It is a process-based model. It is the expanded daily time step of the well-known sentry model. It has been widely used in simulations of carbon and nitrogen in our terrestrial ecosystems. So let's look at the input and output of this model. Basically, three outputs, the climate, soil property, and the land use. In the two tools we are developing, the climate and soil properties are directly from our database. So the user does not need to supply this data. The land use part, including the crop type, the nutrients input, the irrigation, and also the management like tillage, harvest days, planting days. These can be input from the user directly, or they can use our default management for a certain region. The major output variables are the plant production, soil organic matter, which are really important, as we see in other presentations. Also, the greenhouse gas emissions, including nitrous gas oxide and methane. So how does this model perform? We have, in the past few years, we have been improving this ecosystem model to better represent the drought stress. As we see here, the model was validated using three locations in northeast Colorado. These are three experimental sites. As we see, the drought stress is properly simulated by the model. This is for corn data. And we also use the NAS reported county level yield to validate this model. As we see on the right hand, this is the precipitation map from eastern part of Nebraska to Colorado. There's a natural gradient of the precipitation, which provides us a gradient of the drought stress. We use the rainfed data only from NAS. As we see on the left, the 15-year average, the model, although slightly overestimated the yield, the drought stress is actually properly captured. We had an R-square of 0.89. We also calibrated this model using NAS data for other crops. We used the Weld County, which is in northeast Colorado, to calibrate the model to use for the Colorado region. And we use the irrigated, as you see on the top, this yield data to calibrate the model and use the default water stress parameters in the model. It produced the yield of the dry land here, shows on the bottom. As we see, the dry land production is just about half of the irrigated yields in those years. Similarly, sorghum yield is also about half. Alfalfa is a very widely used perennial crop in Colorado. It has similar response to those annual crops. The dry land yield is about half in Weld County. And we are planning to use other counties for a more extensive validation of the model. So we also added two irrigation options for to schedule the limited irrigation. So the first is designed for farmers who are currently using the FO56 method to schedule their irrigation. This method has been promoted by FAO and has been widely used. So the model would allow the user to irrigate a fixed percentage of the simulated irrigation amount using the FO56, which is the full irrigation scenario. And the second option we provide is for the crop producers who are using the soil moisture probes in their field to evaluate their soil water content and then irrigate accordingly. For this option, we would allow the user to irrigate when the soil water content drops to a certain point and bring it to another point. So I'll show you two examples. The first one is that we irrigate the crop, which is corn here, to different levels of the full irrigation from 20% to 100%. As you see the on the left, the irrigation amount increase. And the yield response is similar to the increase of the water for this field. It's almost linear if you see on the right for this field. Of course, for different crop and different fields, you would see different results. So the second method is just to constrain the relative soil water content between a lower and upper level. Here we showed on the really left is the relative solid water content from 0 to 20%, which is the water. Here is the 30 centimeter soil profile. When the water drops almost zero of the relative solid water content, it will bring up to 20%. So the amount of irrigated using the model simulation is about 20 centimeter. And if you see the very optimum scenario on the right, it's about 40 centimeter, so it's about half. And the grain yield responds to the water accordingly on the right, if you see. So let's get back to the tools. A simulation model is needed, you know, extensive training to use. For me, it probably takes a few weeks to learn a new model. And I would expect that farmers will take much longer to learn a model and apply. So that's why it's really essential to develop these tools, which are really easy to use, to apply, that really transfer our, you know, science into the application in the field. Now, we have done amazing science, but if they are not used, applied in the real world, then it won't mean anything. So this first tool is a GIS-based online tool. It's currently applied for South Platte River Basin. As we see here, it's including most part of the north northeast Colorado, and also small part of Wyoming and Nebraska. As you see, Denver is in this watershed. This graph shows the water supply and demand from the Colorado water board. They have did the prediction for 2050. As you see, the blue color shows the current water supply, and in the future, the supply the demand increase. And the estimation is the purple color you see there is about 4 to 12% of our current water supply. So how we would close this gap, how we would supply this amount of water, as previously I mentioned, one of the solutions is to transfer water from agriculture. We will use less water to irrigate our crop. So how the farmer would know the yield response to the water they applied if they only have a certain amount of water? And recently, I just heard that the city of Fort Collins, which is in Colorado, they have changed their law to allow the farmers to lease their certain amount of water to the city. So the farmers actually can lease the water out, and we need to know how much they can lease to achieve their desired yield. So very easily, a farmer can go to this website and draw their field they are interested in. And a few other inputs are necessary for the model to run. Then graph will produce to tell the farmer how much water they would be used to achieve certain yield. Currently, we are using 35-year weather data in the history. Historical data to show the current stage condition, what would happen. Also, we included GCM downscaled water weather products that the farmers can see what would probably happen in the future. This tool is not only used for the farmer to estimate their yield, and also designed for water planning. As we see here, it can be used as a regional analysis. You know, it can be watershed scale. All these points here are the structures, the irrigation structures in this region. And we have all the records of the water diversion from these structures in the past, all the existing records. So we would know that the water, how the water was allocated in the past, and we created scenarios to investigate how would we better allocate our water, and then what's the yield response in these fields. So this is a really useful tool for water planning. We are currently collaborate with the state of Colorado for water planning in the future. And we also can add the climate change scenario to this to help them to better quantify their water supply and water demand in the future. And we also plan to use models, model results from some other models like a urban water use model, combine this result to have a better prediction. A economic model is currently under development to kind of synthesize all these results and trying to find the optimum way to use our water, to allocate our water. The second tool is Comet Farm. It's the greenhouse gas accounting tool currently used for U.S. It's also a GIS-based tool similar to ERAMS. Then this tool actually allows the user to input data of the management. So we see here this is the online web page. It's really similar to the ERAMS that a farmer can just draw their field. And the multi-field can be drawn here. And then historical input are required for this model to run. You know, what's your historical fertilizer applied here, showing here in this table. And our new limited irrigation options will be added to this tool that the farmers to simulate the new scenarios, how to quantify the water use. Here just an example of how the irrigation amount changed the greenhouse gas accounting. The example field is in Sterling, Colorado. So we have two treatments. One is full irrigation treatment, the other is dry land without any irrigation. As you see, the yield responds to the water dramatically. And our soil organic matter is accordingly, as we see the full irrigation treatment, there's almost no change of the soil organic matter. However, if we do not apply any water, we are losing soil organic matter in this case. And the N2O emission into the nitrous oxide is a greenhouse gas. It responds differently. The full irrigation actually triggered more emission of nitrous oxide. So we can convert all these variables into the unit of CO2 equivalent and also add all these other components to have a full picture of the carbon footprint or the total emission of each field and analyze. So that's the two tools I want to introduce to you today. If you have any questions, please raise your hand.
To know what water-related outputs can these models provide? I mean, can you get ET and fraction, can you get evaporation and transpiration separately, and what other water-related information can they give to the user?
So the question is, what are the variables in the water balance, you know, can be produced by this model? So the descent model have the full water balance, so it's rich, including evaporation, transpiration, the runoff amount, the infiltration into the soil, and it use a layered soil submodel to account for the soil water in different depth. So it would produce the drainage at the bottom of the root zone. So all these variables can be produced by this model.
And then I have a follow-up question. Sorry, I'm taking, while you're here, I'm going to make you work hard. But
Our previous presentations on plant breeding and genetics show that there's quite a bit of yield variation as a function of crops. And so how could we blend what we learned that with the models and potentially even use the models to help us evaluate the potential for genetic improvement on crop water use?
Yeah, so the question is clear. I don't need to repeat. So, it's a really good question because I have been thinking about this for a long time. It's important that we have this new cultivar developed and applying the model. So first, I would say we need to investigate what are the traits that has been changed or the new traits are changing our water response. For example, in the previous presentation, the new cultivar probably have the different stomates control, and it can evaporate, it can transpire less water, so the water saved in the soil, which can be used later for the crop. The model can simulate this change by, you know, changing the crop coefficient in it's a parameter in the model to account for this. And also, there might be the change in the canopy development, which means the leaf area might be little, you know, at the early stage, and then because of this, less water transpired and the water saved. So all this can be, you know, the model has parameters that is cultivar specific. So we can change these parameters. Actually, we can probably help the breeding process by manipulating this parameter to see at what scenario we actually have less water transpired and we can save water. One interesting finding in our project with Neil is that in Nebraska, the eastern part of Nebraska, we found that the LAI is normally 6 to 7 for corn at flowering stage, the R1 stage, and the ratio of the leaf to the stem to the whole plant, which is the leaf biomass divided by the above ground total, is about 0.3. And then we studied the fields in Colorado. Those crops are more drought resistant. We actually see the LAI is about 4 to 5 in for the flowering stage, which means less leaf area in these cultivars. And the leaf ratio to above ground is about 0.25 to 0.27, which is also less than the cultivars growing in eastern Nebraska. We are currently using new parameters in our model to account for the difference of the crop cultivars, the drought stress adaptation in the breeding process. So,
excellent. Any other questions for Yao?